Let's talk about plagues a little bit, if we may, and let's go into the book of Revelation. Let's analyze it a little bit. We're going to do a little study on the fifth sign, trumpet, the seal rather, and trumpet, and vial, and the sixth seal, trumpet, and vial. I think you'll see a little coordination there that deserves our attention. So if we may, with a word of wisdom from our Father, let's go to Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 to begin with, if we may. Revelation 6, 9. Always remember, many pastors tell you that you're not supposed to understand the book of Revelation, but that's what the word means, to reveal or to uncover or to make known. So it flows very simply. Let it flow and listen to it. Always remember the symbology that is used therein, and it makes it a lot easier understood. Okay, let's go first, if we may, to the ninth verse of the sixth chapter. Bear in mind, we're going to only deal with the fifth and sixth seals, trumpets, and vials. Verse 9 reads, "And when he had opened the fifth seal," now note what happens in each one of these, "I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." That's to say, Peter, James, everybody from the beginning of time that were slain for the word of God, there under the altar of God. Verse 10, "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" You see, this is one thing God never lets slide, is bloodshedding, all right? And this is their question, how long? What is his answer in the fifth seal? "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." In other words, most of this, the two witnesses will die, yes. But Satan has strict orders in the ninth chapter. Don't kill anybody. You can go down and sting them, deceive them, but don't kill them. And don't you dare touch anybody that has the seal of God in their forehead, which is not a big stamp. It simply means the word of God embedded in your mind with love and tenderness that you understand it. Okay? So we see the fifth then. We see the preliminary move toward God making correct. That is to say, that everything put right side up again. We see a plea from the chosen, so to speak, those that have died for the testimony. Now, let's go to that sixth one. Verse 12, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind." What does he do there? He simply brings in the parable of the fig tree. The generation of the parable of the fig tree, which is the last generation stipulated in the 13th chapter of Mark and the 24th chapter of Matthew. What is it when you shake an old fig tree and untimely? It means green figs, unedible. They jump off a little bit early. They think it's a harvest time, and it really isn't. And you must always remember, sometimes in the old school, you get this thing trumped into your mind, the great tribulation is when Christ returns. Not so. There's a great tribulation before that, and it's written in the 13th chapter of Mark that it's the greatest that's ever been on the earth since the very beginning of time to that time, which means the appearance of instead of Christ, or instead of Jesus, simply the son of perdition on the earth, supernatural, claiming to be Jesus, claiming to say, hey, you all, I'm going to rapture you out of here. You've got it made, children. Just worship me. You don't do that. You're not something that gets harvested out of season. You hold your ground. 14, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. We know at this time that the second tribulation is kicked in, and truly the true Christ has returned or is in the process of returning. Please know this. The kings mentioned here are the kings of this earth age, not the one that's coming. All right? The kings of the ethnos, that's what nations is. When you say nations in the Greek, you're saying ethnos, which is from our English word, the ethnic people. All God's children, they still maintain the rank as it is written in Revelation 21. So, what did we see in this? Think about it. The fifth seal, a plea of how long? The sixth seal, the untimely harvest, which means the son of perdition came in the sixth seal. After all, six is the number of man and Satan, all right, of Satan rather. So that should be befitting, should it not? Naturally. Okay, now let's go to the fifth trump. Let's see if there is anything that will that we can correlate or that will align itself with the fifth seal and sixth seal. We go to the trumpets, chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel, this is the fifth trumpet. Always remember, a trumpet sounds charge. It means the action has begun. All right, it has been executed. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. That's an illusion. When the true Christ returns, his brightness is supposed to make everything else look dull as the darkness upon the earth. Well, Satan's going to try the same thing, okay? But it's an illusion. And there came out of the smoke a locust upon the earth, and upon them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only, this is to prove they're not locust, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. In other words, it's a thing of deception. The seal of God in their forehead is to know who the son of perdition is when he appears, and to witness against him, to fight against him. Therefore, he can't deceive you anyway. But if somebody's waiting for a quick ride out on a Ferris wheel, that's about as high as they're going, all right? They're going to come right back, in other words. He's going to deceive them because they're not taught, and they haven't been, and they cannot understand, I suppose, not with the theory of the rapture being taught over and over and over without getting into the Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. But that's God's command. He said, don't touch mine anointed. Don't touch those that have the seal of God. He couldn't anyway. Let me ask any one of you. Do you know that he's the false Messiah? The others think he's the true. Is there any way somebody could hire you to worship the false Christ? There ain't no way. There's no way he can touch you, because deception is the only tool he has. And it continues on, and it gives the five-month reign of Apollyon and Abaddon, which is Hebrew for the destroyer. And the Greek Apollyon is Satan's name in the Greek, the destroyer. Same title in two languages, so you don't mess up. It states that he will be as the time of the locust, 5 months, and that particular stage of the locust is even, it's better than knowing 5 months. It's May through September. May through September, that's September being the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, that pretty well covers the fifth trumpet. Let's go to the sixth trumpet down at the 13th verse, all right? Listen carefully. And the sixth angel sounded. Again, this is the trumpet. The action is executed. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. That's simply God's throne, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Don't make a big thing out of that. The Euphrates has always been the border between Babylon, which is to say confusion, and the house of Israel. The house of Israel, which those 10 tribes went north over the Caucasus Mountains, they begin to be called Caucasians after that, and so you have it. Never confuse the house of Israel with the house of Judah, they were at one time one house, and they will be again, as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 37, but not now. You have to address them as the house of Judah and also the house of Israel. The Israel are called Caucasians as they came, plus anyone that believes on Christ automatically is in that family. Though they be kings and queens of the ethnos, Christ said, hey, if I want to, I can make elect out of these stones here. And he could if he so chose. Okay? So we see four angels. These are not nice guys. Okay? Loosed. On the border between God's people and confusion. Got it? And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay a third part of men. To deceive them. Did God not say you can't kill them? Of course he did. He said you can't kill them. You can sting them. And you've all heard me give the old rendition of the scorpion. You have to go into the actual working of an insect if God gives you one. A scorpion has no stomach. So to take a prey, it moves up. It takes its little pinchers and it grabs its victim and regurgitates its digestive juices into the victim, and the victim's skin becomes the scorpion's stomach. In other words, it turns the victim's backbone to mush. And when you see people in stupor, you have the exact example of the sting of the scorpion. They're just turned to nothing. No backbone, no guts. All right? That's what he's talking about. Now, and the number of the army, 16, of the horsemen, were 2,000, 1,000, 1,000. And I heard the number of them. In other words, there's going to be a whole lot of deceived. And he's got quite a few spirits on his side, including the Kenites, which is to say sons of Cain. 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates, fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. That's simply the horses of the Bible. You've studied them. You know what they are. By these three, not necessarily fire, the jacinth and the brimstone, but the locust, the four angels, and the four demons. By these three, a third part of the men were killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their, what? Mouths. What comes out of your mouth? Your voice. And your voice can put forth truth or it can put forth lies. Their weapon is their mouth. Deception. Ignorance. They work upon it. They thrive on it as termites on a good house. Verse 19, for their power is in their mouth. That's the only power they've got, and that's why you must never fear them. You're smarter than that. You're more intelligent than that, and you love the Lord. That's the only thing they can do to you. And in their tails, for their tails were like the serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And we see then that in the sixth trumpet, we know the fifth only tells of the coming and how long he's going to be here. But the sixth trumpet, we see that the false Christ is here, and we get his M.O., how he's going to operate with his mouth. And there's nothing new about that. If you were to turn to the 12th chapter, don't right now, you would be told that Satan's going to be cast from heaven onto this earth very soon, and that he will send a flood of lies after Those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. It's not going to bother you. You're immune to it. And I'm going to show you before I finish this lecture how you get that immunation. You get immune to it. You become immune to it. All right? You're going to know that before you leave here in not too awful many minutes. Well, sometimes I go longer than that. But anyway, you're going to know, all right, that you know. So what have we learned? Have you seen the comparison? The fifth speaks of the deception. The sixth activates it. All right? Now, let's go to the sixth vial. All right? Which is, they're usually known as the plague chapters. Let's go to chapter 16. And let's pick it up with verse 10. Again, these are the vials or the plagues. Got it? Let's see what the fifth angel has here in the vial. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed with their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain, and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. In other words, we see again that he bothers the seat where they're now sitting, but really hasn't come yet, see? But he's as good as on his road. Because you should be able to put that together. Michael is beginning to stir and get into the act. Getting ready to pack this old boy's bag and get him on the road. All right? Now let's go to the sixth vial. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. That sound familiar? Don't have to go through that again, do I? That's the boundary between confusion and common sense. You understand what I mean? The boundary between those that can be confused and those that are God's people. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. You might have a little peek right there that when the false Messiah comes, you might get a little better look at why Korea is being mentioned so much with the Atomic Energy Commission, all right? Not necessarily, but watch. You're a watchman, all right? This old boy happened to be there the last time the kings of the east stirred it up with us, and I'll tell you what, for us old Marines, it wasn't that much fun up at that reservoir where there were Chinese peeking over every hilltop by the thousands, okay? Just not funny at all. Okay, verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Where did they come out of? The mouth again. Words, words, words. Sticks and, what is it? Sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words shall never hurt thee. Isn't that, that's wisdom, my friend. Okay? An old saying, but it fits. And out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They can't hurt you. If it's coming out of their mouth, what does that mean? They're here. They're here in person. The beast system, the false prophet, which is the religious head, that's the son of perdition playing Jesus. 14, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty, looking forward to the second advent. Interesting, what? Only their mouth. Can you discern truth from fiction? Christ taught in simplicity, never make it difficult. Whereby if you use common sense, you can understand it. 15, let's go just a little further with this one. Behold, I come as a thief. That means when you least expect it. We're talking about the second advent here, not the Antichrist. He told us quite well when he was coming. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. Do you know what the righteous garments are made of? Your righteous acts. If you haven't acted righteously, you're going to stand naked as a jaybird on that day. And many will. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon, which is the the city or hill of Megiddo. And this, and let's just go with the seventh this time. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." Now, we've covered this. We got five seal, five trumpet, five vial or plague, six seal. Let's see, that's, if we call it plague, S for seal, T for trumpet, and P for plague, that's STP.